On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, good.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. It sounds so stupid, doesn't it? This is going to be something, man. This is going to be unbelievable. You have no idea what you're about to listen to. I don't either. I've been doing radio broadcasting for over 30 years, and I still can't eat large amounts of cheese. When I walk down the street and I see other people walking down the street as well, I look at those other people and I say to myself, I probably are going to end up hating every one of them if I knew them personally. It's not so much that I dislike people, it's just that I can't tolerate them. That's why we love animals so much. That's why we go crazy with animals and little pandas and cute little puppy dogs and stuff. That's why we go so crazy, because they're much better than human beings. I sometimes give my dog a little dog biscuit, you know, and sometimes my dog says, no, cut it out already. I'm not interested in this stuff. Dogs like people food. What's up with that? Why? I don't like dog biscuits. Why do they like people food? That doesn't make sense. You something very, very odd and bizarre, and this is absolutely true. I like to be transparent, unlike the president, but I like to be transparent about things. We book interviews every day on this show, and we do interviews every day on this show. They're mostly pre-recorded. Sometimes you do 3 or 4 interviews in a day, and then they're farmed out to various farms in the area. And I get calls from these agents, and Nicole Reed books a lot of our national interviews as well. Facebook is trying to get interviews with people like me so that they can distribute the word that Facebook really cares about you, that Facebook is very socially conscious. And here's the funny part is other radio stations, according to these agents, other radio stations are turning down these interviews saying, I don't want to talk to Facebook. They're full of crap. They're just trying to do like media tours in order to make people feel good about Facebook, but that's two-faced. I'm not doing that. And I feel the same way. So I said to the booking agent, I said, I'm not doing an interview with Facebook unless I can say to them face-to-face, phone-to-phone, like, what's with you, man? See, Facebook is too much of an influence on society, and anything like that gets quite dangerous. And I swear I'm older than you are probably, Maybe, maybe not. But I'm not a millennial. Ooh, no. And I'm telling you, we didn't have Facebook problems because we didn't have Facebook. Let's start right there. Social media? What the fuck are you talking about? What the social media? Why is that such an intricate part of our lives? What's wrong with us? And it's not just Americans. I mean, social media is across the world, across the globe, the universe. Why? Why do we need to connect to people? I have spent most of my life trying to avoid people. Now they've got entire worldwide platforms so I can connect to people that I don't want to connect to. I'm telling you, I don't know who my Facebook friends are. I've been through this before, but every time the subject comes up, it drives me nuts. I lived just fine before there was social media. I had no problems. Things were good. Things were comfortable. Get up, do some stuff, eat dinner, go to bed. It was pretty cool. Now I got to check my phone every 2 minutes to see if someone tried to contact me. My God, I mean, I feel like I'm a circus dog waiting for someone to throw me a treat. I mean, like I am married to checking to see if anybody tried to contact me or if I need to respond to somebody in a very important friend-like way. What the hell's wrong with us? We're a bunch of trained seals. And you know it. And you know it. And you feel it. You feel married to your phone. This is a marriage that is not going to end well. And what has it done? It's given us the worldwide license of bullying each other, giving our opinions where opinions were not asked. If you don't like it, don't do it again. No, I must tell everybody in the world that I didn't like it. Similar to Ron's talk show. This is not social media, by the way. This is just a freaking talk show. There's been like radio talk shows like for decades and decades and like almost like half century and more. And then some. Turn of the century radio. They invented it. People like me started going on it. This is not social media. That's why we don't take phone calls on this show, because I don't give a shit what you feel. I really don't. I did that for years on radio stations. I did 3-4 hour morning shows every single weekday morning for 30 years. And people would call the show and give their opinions on things. And it would be lively, but it would also be, oh my God, they're bringing it down. I don't want to hear from these people because I don't really care. Social media is going to be the death of society. I guarantee it. Anyway, that's not why I'm here today. And by the way, thank you for your many emails supporting my presidency for the United States. I'm running on the Tupperware party. I don't know if you heard about this. I think I've got a shot at it. I'm pulling it minus 2,000%. But I'm doing the Trump thing. The more unpopular I am, the better off I seem to be. I'm going to make a little Trump comment now, so prepare yourself. Cover your ears if this bothers you. Because I think it's 39% of the country thinks Trump is good. That's a lot more than I thought would have happened by now. I thought he'd be down to like 3% easily by now. Because Trump, you know, he's the art of the deal. He's the master deal maker. He hasn't made one freaking deal since he's been president. And all the deals he made business-wise before president put him into bankruptcy multiple times. Well, here's where he stands right now. The House Oversight Committee, which is the House, is a Democratic House. Hey, politics, man. They just want to find out like what's going on behind Trump's history and his dealings and things like that to see who's our president. because he was one of the only presidents that did not show his tax returns. He not only did not show his tax returns, he refused to show them. He said, I'm the richest man in the world. I'm very successful, but you're not going to see how I do it, even though I'm supposed to be transparent. In other words, here I am, but you will never know who I am unless I tell you what I want you to believe I am. The tax returns are going to show Trump's financial dealings for a period of time. Here are some interesting things that have occurred. The two federal judges have ruled that Trump must give his tax returns, make them public. The state of New York, and these are state tax returns, Trump's state tax returns, they're not federal returns, they're the state returns. The state of New York has just ruled yesterday that tax returns, if requested by Congress, must be handed over as far as the state is concerned. So they will hand over Trump's state tax returns. Trump will try to block it with all his might. Here's my question. Don, what the hell are you trying to hide? If you're so proud of your business dealings, you're so proud of your acumen in business, you're so proud of the monies that you have invested, if you're so proud of all of this and are this wonderful businessman and you are this successful individual that knows more than anybody else, why are you hiding your tax returns? You should want everybody to see them, to see just how success looks like. Don, why are you hiding? Why are you fighting this with every inch of your body? Why does discussion about your tax returns throw you into tirades and fits and losing your mental capacity to breathe? What is it in these tax returns that is going to be so damaging, Don? Why aren't you proud of them? Speculation goes through the roof, such as he didn't pay taxes because he claimed losses which didn't really exist. That's one possibility. Another is, on the list of banks, maybe he didn't list all the banks like the foreign banks where he had money laundered. We don't know. These are accusations. These are probabilities, because nobody hides their past when there's nothing to hide. And yeah, I get Republicans that say, okay, you know, he's doing Republican things. He got some Republican judges in there, some conservative judges. And, you know, he's trying to do this border thing. And, you know, they're around it. I like a ballsy guy. I like a guy that takes no crap from anybody. Yeah, do you like a baby? Do you like a baby that has fits and tantrums? Do you like that? Do you like a person who's sitting in the White House who doesn't reveal who they are or what they do or how they're going to do it, or don't worry about it, I'm the smartest person in the world, I'm smarter than you are? Do you like a guy that makes deals, like trade deals with China that never happen, that make things worse? Do you like a guy that makes deals with North Korea to stop advancing their nuclear testing, and then you find out they're doing nuclear testing behind your back, but you're too embarrassed to admit it? Are these the deals? Deals like, I can work with both sides of Congress, Democrats and Republicans. Not one deal is made with Republicans and Democrats because Trump will shut down governments if he doesn't get his way. Is this a deal maker? You guys are being like pulled the wool over your eyes like a gigantic sweater, man. You're just, and if there's anybody in this country who says, well, I think I'm better off with Trump. Yeah, right. I guess you're. Maybe it's because you can't add numbers up, because it doesn't make sense. And all the Republicans that say small government when Trump runs it like a dictatorship. Small government pretty much means nothing gets passed, nothing gets done, there are no improvements, there's nothing resolved. That's about as small a government as you can get. I guess you got what you wanted there. And what about fiscal responsibilities? The country has never been more in debt before in its history. This country has gone bankrupt 50 times over in the Trump administration and in others as well. But Trump has made it skydive into negative numbers. The deficit is uncontrollable because Trump doesn't care about money. He doesn't really know how to do money. He says no one knows how to do money better than him. No one knows how to lose money more than him. Anyway, I'm not going to sit here for the entire time and just complain about Donald. I'm just saying that the fiscal conservatives, the Republicans, just to allow this to happen, are destroying the crux of their own party. And you know, if you booted out Trump, then Pence would become president. If you just booted Trump out right now, you'd have President Pence, which in my mind is not good, but certainly better than this. I don't understand you people. I really don't. It's like you're more important than your country is. That's what it seems like to me. Like your personal well-being, which is fictitious, by the way, your personal gain is more important than democracy itself. The foundation of this country. I mean, here's what bothers me most about Trump right now. Thank you for letting me talk about this, by the way. I'll send you a card in the mail. The House Oversight Committee is just doing investigations, as they do on many presidents and many situations they have in every administration all the way down the line. They send a subpoena out to Trump, to the people that have worked for Trump, anybody who knows Trump, anybody who's talked to Trump. Subpoenas go out, and in every case, Trump has told them publicly, do not appear. Do not appear. If Congress subpoenas you to testify, do not go. Defy the subpoena. Let me tell you something, kids. If you got a subpoena in the mail from a court or from a branch of government, and it told you to show up at 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, you best show up at 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. Because if you don't, you will subsequently be arrested and you will appear before a judge who will give you a trial as to why you didn't show up, with many penalties, which could include incarceration or certainly heavy fines. But incarceration would be on the table. Dare you not show up on time at a court hearing? That's what would happen to you. To the president, to the Attorney General, William Barr, who was also ordered to show up at a particular time to be seen in front of the House, he didn't show up. He said, I'm not going. You'd be in jail. You could even be arrested. But not the president. And I do believe that it stands in our democracy that no one is above the law. And this involves the law. No one is above the law. Dot, 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 dot. Except the president. So in this country, people are above the law. It depends on how much money they have to get the best attorneys they can to fight it or to extend it. But the common person like you, like me, our asses would be hauled into jail, placed in front of a judge for defying a request to appear in court or before a committee, defying a subpoena in order to appear. That's not fair. And that's why I'm upset. Okay. Thank you. Oh, was that fun for you or was that stupid? I'm sorry. You know, I get caught up every once in a while. Anyway, this is indeed the Ron Van Dam Show, and I thank you for your attention. Oh, my gosh.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it, too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Well, just as Memorial Day is upon us, there's been a large recall of hot dogs. Most of these hot dogs by this particular manufacturer have been distributed to parts of the Midwest. If you're interested, Google social media this. You know, because these hot dogs have gone to vendors. Now I'm super paranoid about having a hot dog on Memorial Day from a vendor. Yeah. That, you know, I know I talked about Trump, but when it comes down to the point where you can't have a hot dog from a vendor because you're not sure if it's got aluminum particles in it, this country's gone to crap.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Step right up.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks.
Our guest for today joins us right after this little hot dog thing.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Fat kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news, they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell,
hooray for hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids love to fight.
Hey, Micah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Micah Muzio joins us. He's become a regular on the program. He's here more than I am.
I'm taking over.
Yes. He's the car expert at Kelley Blue Book. He does the video and all that kind of stuff, and he's the media spokesperson. And we did you check in and see what's going on in the auto world to tantalize us, and we're talking about the 10 coolest new cars under $20,000. Is that a misprint?
That is not a misprint. And actually, I think it was last year, we moved up to $20,000. It used to be 18, but, you know, eventually inflation catches up with us. But let me tantalize you with just a little taste of our cool cars list.
Sure.
One of the cars that is atop our list is the Nissan Kicks. And one thing we've learned over the past many years is that people love the form factor of an SUV. They love sitting up high,
yes,
having a great vantage point, and they love the room of an SUV.
Yes.
So the Kicks takes all of those attributes and infuses them into a very small package.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still very roomy, and you can still see over the cars ahead of you. But the thing is super easy to park, great turning radius.
Oh.
And it looks cool, too. That's the other big theme that's coming out of our cool cars list this year. The one I'm looking at, I'm going to go touch it right now. The Nissan Kicks has this contrasting roof motif right now. The one I'm looking at, that's like this kind of vivid bronze.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a neat-looking little kind of SUV-like thing. And again, it starts under $20,000. Oh, and up to 36 miles per gallon on the highway.
Well, that's very good. Let me ask you very quickly. The small cars like that, the SUVs, really small ones like the Kicks, which have all the features, are they actually safe on the road? They look like they could be mangled pretty easily.
You know, one of the big things in driving safely is avoiding a crash altogether.
Sure.
And so one of the key aspects to the Nissan Kicks is it includes standard automatic emergency braking.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the ways that car makers are protecting people in these smaller vehicles is including technology to help you avoid the crash altogether.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, even small cars like this, you know, modern technology or modern design being what it is, you've got crumple zones, you've got a very strong safety cell. Yeah, the economy car of like the 70s and 80s is no more. You have pretty robust little cars now.
Gotcha. Okay, continue the tantalization thing.
Oh, you know, if you want to talk about tantalizing, let's talk about the Toyota Corolla hatchback. And what's amazing to me is that I've been doing this a good long while, and at no point in my automotive journalism career have I ever been excited about driving a Corolla. And this is the first one where I'm like, oh, dude, this is a sweet-looking Corolla. In fact, the one that's here is in this vivid blue flame paint job. But what I've noted is that, you know, if you took this to like a Fast and the Furious movie premiere, you know, 15 years ago, people jaws would have dropped because the thing looks wicked. It's got this cool spoiler on the back. It's got this really aggressive nose treatment. The interior is sweet. I mean, like the material quality is great, and it just looks like this fun, sporty package, and it's a Corolla hatchback, and I love that. I also love, you know, kind of getting to the point we were talking about previously. Standard Toyota Safety Sense 2.0, which means that every single Corolla, even the absolute cheapest one you buy, has lane keeping assist, automatic emergency braking, and dynamic cruise control.
Wow.
And that's the kind of stuff that previously was reserved for very expensive cars.
Yeah.
And that's just available across the board.
What we're doing now is we're driving computers. It's computers on wheels, and the technology is kind of, to us, many of us, more exciting than the vehicle itself.
I mean, that is true. There was a time where the quality of a car or the value of a car was measured in, is it going to, break in the first 30,000 miles?
Yes.
And now reliability is almost a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of going to just keep going.
Correct. No, it's
and
true.
You're fine. So,
it's true.
So now, to your point, technology and style are the key attributes that really set cars apart. And the thing we've discovered, as it turns out, it doesn't cost that much more to make a cheap car look cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's plastic and it's metal. You can shape it however you want. That's one of the things that I love is that car makers are recognizing that just because you don't have a huge budget doesn't mean you don't want to be proud of the car you're driving.
That's true. That's true, too. I guess SUVs of all types are the big thing now. I mean, I was driving, and I'm not seeing any, like, sedans anymore. There are nice sedans around, but everything's some type of variation of an SUV.
That is 100% true. The SUV market is thriving, and people are moving away from cars.
Mm-hmm.
And once they move to SUVs, they want to stay in SUVs.
Yes.
Which is why, you know, in our cool cars list, even though we're talking about very inexpensive cars, there are a lot of vehicles on our list that emulate the function of an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
In similar fashion, the Kia Soul, which isn't a brand new car, although the one I'm looking at is, it's all new for 2020,
mm-hmm.
but the Kia Soul has been around for a while as a model. But it does that same thing where you have a raised seating position, that high roof creates a bunch of interior space, even though it doesn't take up a huge amount of space when parking.
Mm-hmm.
And we really like those attributes. So there's a lot of SUV infused into the Kia Soul, even though it doesn't have, you know, rugged off-road abilities.
Wow. Any more?
Yeah, well, I mean, we got a whole big old list.
Wow.
I mean, and we cover a lot of ground. The Hyundai Veloster, I think we may have talked about this previously, but if you haven't seen the Veloster, it's just interesting to note because it's an asymmetrical design.
Mm-hmm.
So on one side, you have a single door, just like you're walking up to a coupe. On the other side, the side near the curb, you have two doors. There's a little bonus door in the back that makes it easy for rear seat passengers to get in the rear seats.
Oh.
It's a really, really neat shape, and I love the fact that Hyundai is sticking with it and has introduced a second generation. And then all-wheel drive, if that's important to people listening, you know, if they want the kind of traction to go, you know, up to the mountains, the Subaru Impreza is on our list as well. That's another great one. And to get all-wheel drive under $20,000 is pretty fantastic.
It's pretty unbelievable is what it is.
Yeah.
It's almost like, what? That's why I said at the top of the show, $20,000, that's it? That's not a lot these days, really. There's a long list of interesting cars. And as I've always said whenever we talk, before you buy a car or consider leasing or whatever the case may be, you got to go to Kelley Blue Book first. Also, to find out what you're presently driving, what that trade-in value is. So, consider it the Bible. Always take a look. And when I say book, there's a lot of ways to access quote-unquote books these days. And how do we do that? Where do we go?
Yeah, it is weird because when I started Kelley Blue Book, we still had books.
Yes.
And we do not anymore, but it's all online at kbb.com. And I want to quickly clarify that
yes.
when we're talking about pricing for these cars, we're not talking about MSRP. We're talking about actual transaction
right,
prices,
right.
Which is something that KBB does really well. We gather all this data, and we know how much people are actually paying. So we've got this fair market range.
Very cool.
So if you want to buy a car under $20,000 and you want to know what you're actually going to spend on it, right. KBB.com is a pretty great resource.
I tell you, it's funny. I was in February, I was giving up a lease, and I was going to buy another car, and I looked up the value of the car that I was driving, which was a Lincoln MKX. And I wrote it down, and I went to a dealership, and they gave me a price which was like way low. And I said, well, look, I looked up Kelley Blue Book, and this is the value of the car. And they said, oh, okay. And they actually took
it. Hey!
I was like, wow, I'm glad I did that.
The system works.
Yeah. Yay.
I'm glad we could help.
Hey, it's great talking to you again, Meekin. I'm sure we'll talk soon again. One more time, that website.
That website's kbb.com. Looking forward to the next chat.
Great. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for today. You've been just fantastic. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't listen to this. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. It's going to be kind of incredible. Yeah, I got something planned for you for tomorrow. Show up. It's going to be good. Until then, I wish you peace.